Hey there, Roamers. Welcome to the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel, where we get to hear from full-time RVers, unpack their experiences, and learn actionable advice to help you roam in your home too. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Thank you so much for being here. Buckle up, my friend. Let's get ready to go on an adventure together right now. Before we start the show, I have to tell you about an exciting opportunity for solo travelers. If you love the idea of this RV life but not sure about going it alone, now you don't have to. Embark on your solo adventures with confidence and camaraderie. Join the Wandering Individuals Network RV Club today for the ultimate journey tailored to the independent traveler. Visit WindsRVClub.com to learn more, and be sure to check out Episode 6, where Janelle, the owner of Winds RV Club and a solo traveler herself, shares her story and all about this fantastic club. You won't want to miss it. Now back to the show. Welcome back to the Roam in Your Home podcast, the show where we dive into the world of RV living with tips, stories, and insights from those who live it every day. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Well, if you've been following along with our podcast for a while now, first of all, thank you so much. It truly means the world to me. And you probably noticed that I haven't released an episode for the past 2 weeks. We had an emergency situation with our lab, Cooper, and it has literally rocked our world. He's 12 years old, but has been super healthy and doing fantastic. But on Friday, August 2nd, I walked in to see him looking like he was having a stroke. It was the worst sight I've ever seen. We rushed him to the emergency room to find out that he has vestibular disease. He has a good chance of completely recovering, and he's gotten a lot better, but still has a long road to recovery. He has required 24/7 care, and I just couldn't get the editing done for this episode or even have the mental capacity to even think about it. I just want to take this time to sincerely apologize to my guest, Jennifer Scannell, for the delay in getting part 2 of our conversation out. She has been so gracious and understanding and patient. She for sure is one that totally knows how it feels to have something happen out of nowhere that changes everything. Jennifer is an author, travel blogger, and a breast cancer survivor. If you haven't listened to part 1 of this conversation, go now and listen. You will be so inspired by her journey through breast cancer, from the diagnosis through the recovery, all while full-time RVing. She shares so much valuable information that everyone needs to hear. I'm really excited to share part 2 of our conversation today. Jennifer shares all about her RV life with her husband, Mike. They've been full-time for over 5 years, and Jennifer shares so many great tips that you won't want to miss. You will love getting to know Jennifer better. I know I have. So without further ado, let's jump right back into my conversation with Jennifer Scannell. I love that you shared all that. Curious to know more about your RV life too, though. I love that you shared about what your current rig is and your truck. Did you say that you had 3 RVs in a year?
In a year, yeah. Yeah, we started out with a little 25-foot with a Murphy bed, thinking we were just going to do the whole weekend thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then my husband worked from home anyway.
Okay.
So then we were like, okay, let's get a little bit bigger rig, because we tried it for like a couple of weeks at a time. We're like, this is 25-footer in a Murphy bed. It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So the biggest room was the bathroom, and that's where he would set up his office to work during the day.
Oh, wow.
And so we said, yeah, we need something bigger. So we went up to like a 30-foot travel trailer, had to get a little bit bigger truck to pull that. And then we, after we did, one winter in Florida, like we did 2 months, January and February in Florida, and we said, yeah, now this is what we really want to do. Because we actually hadn't heard of the full-time RV life until we were in Florida, and we started talking to people, and we're like, you know, we could do this.
So. Right? We didn't know it was a thing, too. We were thinking about, we've been married 32 years, and we don't have any children, and we're both physical therapist assistants, and we heard about travel therapy. And we didn't even know about RVing at all. Like, we'd never been an RV. And then there just so happened, we were actually in Daytona Beach, Florida at the time. And speaking of NASCAR, right at the track, they had a huge RV show.
Oh, yes.
And we just went for fun. Like, we were just like, oh, let's just look at these RVs. We didn't even know what they were. And I remember walking in to like the first one, I think it was the 5th wheel. And we were like, what?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
And we're like, how could we get one of these? Like, what can we do? And we're like, oh my gosh, we could travel. We could do our travel therapy. And we, you know, we just realized, like, with our dog and, you know, just instead of packing and unpacking every 13 weeks, we can actually have our traveling home with us and, you know, just make memories. And so, that's so cool. And then, to find out, like, oh my gosh, this is a real thing, full-time RVing.
Right.
So that's awesome. And so how did you find your fifth wheel? Did you go to RV shows? Did you look on YouTube? Like, how did you find it?
So I had heard about Grand Design because our other ones were not Grand Design because we didn't have any dealerships around us. So we went with what we had a dealership around us with. But I'd heard about Grand Designs and I'm like, I just want to see what they look like. And we happened to be in Ohio. Our little grandson was born and we were taking his older brother. And I said, there's a dealership here that has them. Let's just take, you know, the older brother, give the parents the new baby a break and we'll just go for the day. So we put him in the truck and, you know, and we went. So we walked into the first one and I was like, okay, we're getting a Grand Design. I don't know how, but I don't know which one, but this is the one we're going to get. And so then we started looking at all the different models and trying to figure out which one would fit with an office for my husband. But we didn't want a bunkhouse because we knew we weren't going to need it like forever. Right.
Okay.
So we said, well, we won't do a bunkhouse, but we need a place that he could set up his table for his office, but I could still have access to everything else. And so that's what we how we shopped. We took his table that he was going to use for his desk. And, and we ended up with the one we have where I have access to, like, the washer and dryer was off the kitchen. Everything was like very accessible, even with the slides in. So that's how we ended up with the fifth wheel. Yeah.
Nice. What model do you have?
We have the Solitude 385 GK.
Okay.
And so the bedroom doesn't have the washer and dryer in it. It's actually right inside the door, the front door.
That's really neat. Yeah. I have to look that model up. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's unfortunately they don't make it anymore, but I know. I'm very upset about that. And so Grand Design, if you're listening, can you make another one in about 4 years when I need to replace this
right?
one?
That sounds like a really great floor plan.
Yeah. We love it. But yeah, so that's how we ended up with that one.
And I always love to find out, you know, three things that people love about their RV and three things that they don't love. I know for us, we found out, you know, kind of what we like and what we don't like after living in it for a while. So speaking of your first one, I don't know if you heard our story, but our first RV, you know, doing the travel therapy, we bought a 40-foot fifth wheel and a 3500 dolly and loved it.
Okay.
And then during COVID, we were stationary and for like a year and a half because there was no travel contracts. They were all on hold. And then we were just doing home health in Florida where we were just supposed to be a couple months. We ended up being a year and a half and we just got like stir crazy. And we just decided to do like a bucket list adventure. Let's sell the RV, sell the truck. We really wanted a Jeep Gladiator so we can go off-roading. And we're going to buy a motor home and tow the Jeep Gladiator. And then just prices went through the roof during COVID and it was just ridiculous and everything was on hold. Like for, you had to like a wait list to buy a new RV or to build one. It was so crazy. And so we decided to research and find the biggest small RV that the Jeep Gladiator can safely and legally tow. And we were just going to do like 6 months to a year max. We're going to go so many different places. And we bought a 20-foot travel trailer with the Murphy bed. Mm. It is a perfect camper for the weekends.
Right.
And we are now living in it for 3 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And we are going nuts.
Yeah.
We are RV shopping every single day because this was not supposed to be something that we lived in. This was not this floor plan. You know, like this floor plan.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like you had a big bathroom. We have the smallest bathroom. You can literally brush your teeth while you're sitting on the toilet. It is so small. We're constantly every day, like, excuse me, everything's inconvenient. Our word of the day every day is this is so inconvenient. So anyway, but that's what we are in now. And so, but we realized like we actually bought our floor plan for the Murphy bed. We thought that was a fantastic idea.
That's what we
thought.
Until
we lived in it. Yeah. So that's what we're, that, you know, that was my whole point to say, like, you really don't know until you use it. And so
yeah.
Now that you have your grand design, mm-hmm. what are three things that you love about it? And what are three things that you wish that you can change?
I love the washer dryer placement because it is in the main area. It's not up in the closet, you know, in the cap. So it's
right.
very accessible. It's perfect. Right over the axles. So it doesn't shake the heck out of the camper. It's perfect. I love the office living space that we were able to make up with him being able to have his office here in the bedroom. The only thing I couldn't get to was the closet, but that was fine. And the other thing is the amount of storage.
Oh, yeah.
We just have so much storage.
Great.
And the size of it, you know, it's 41 feet. So it's like, this is like perfect for living in. I did have to downsize a lot, obviously. We do have a storage unit in Ohio with just antiques and things like that. And some of my fabric that I couldn't part with.
Okay.
But other than that, so that's what I love about it. Just, you know, the amount of storage and the size and that kind of thing.
It sounds so great. And yeah, I can't wait to look up that model, and hopefully Green Design comes out with something, you know, similar to that.
Similar. Yeah.
And then now that you're in it, are there some things that you wish that you could change or you don't like as well as you thought, like the Murphy bed and the little travel trailer?
You know, the size is great for storage, but then we can't go to the national parks, you know, like,
right.
We are big. So
right.
The size can also be a hindrance.
Yes.
So that kind of thing. The oven is pointless because it's my storage.
Oh, right.
I have like a cooktop and then I have an oven.
Okay.
But then I have a convection microwave. So I've learned how to do a lot in the convection, including use it as an air fryer.
Yes.
So a lot of my oven is basically storage unless the pizza won't fit in the convection. And then I will turn on the oven for that.
Okay.
So I could do without, but now they have the actual residential kind of stoves, which I would love to have that.
Me too.
But you'd have to totally redo it. So I'd have to like totally redo the whole kitchen. This is my husband. It didn't come prepped for solar on the roof. We have like a plug that you could do an outside solar,
okay.
But ours, I think they started doing that like a couple of years later. So that's minor for me. And I guess that's how desperate we were to come up with three things we didn't like about this RV, because we just love it.
That is so nice. That's how we felt about our Jayco Pinnacle. We absolutely loved it. We really, the only thing we didn't love about it is, and we didn't know at the time, we didn't have full body paint. I don't know if you guys do or not.
Yeah, no, huh?
We didn't know that you're supposed to like to keep the shine, you know, we had to deoxidize and then wax. And we just saw these really pretty, you know, shiny rigs that were full body paint. And my husband, after a week of making it look nice again, he said, forget it. We will always have a painted rig after this. That's really like the only thing we didn't like about it, but we absolutely loved everything. We had it for 4 years and we loved it. And so it is nice for your, you know, first fifth wheel that you found a plan that you absolutely love. So that's so good. That is great. And then what are some RV like accessories or must-haves that you would recommend for somebody, you know, who's thinking about getting an RV or maybe just bought a new RV and they need to go shopping for some things that are good to have? What would you guys recommend?
Well, besides all of the, like the outside sort, you know, the sewer and all that kind of stuff that you have to have anyway.
Right.
The RV lock that they have now, so you don't have to use the key.
Right.
Is really nice to have because it has a key fob or you can do the push button thing. That's really nice.
Nice.
Molride also has come out with like the stairs and the stair, like a handle on the door that you put like a long handle. So you don't have to go all the way up to it. So we have that. And we also have the extendable handle like to go up the steps.
Nice.
We just did the upgraded wider steps that fold up in too. So shout out to Moride for making it easier for me to get into my rig with groceries in my hands.
Yes. Oh, that sounds really nice.
Yeah. And I'd say the washer dryer, obviously, if you can have that, because especially during COVID, that was like,
oh yeah,
I loved that because I didn't have to go to the laundry, but.
That's so nice. Do you have a washer dryer combo or separate?
No, we have separate. We have a stackable. And in fact, we had to replace our possessed washing machine died right before surgery.
Oh gosh.
So we had, for the second time, we replaced parts in it. And so we finally said, okay, that's it. And so we ordered a new one. And 4 days after surgery, our friends came and helped Mike put our new washer and dryer in. So Or our washer, our dryer has been fine. It was the washer that's the problem.
Okay.
But now it's fine. But I called it my possessed because it died before we went to the beach. And then we came back and my husband was like, hey, I wonder if the washer's working. And he turned it on and it worked. And I did like six
Oh my
loads.
God.
So
Oh
I
my
was like, I said, it's
God.
going. I don't want it anymore. So it's going. So it lived. So yeah. So those are the things.
Oh, that is so good. And then when we started, we had no idea. Like, we were not RVers. Like I said, we had no idea about RVing, never been an RV, never had any friends with RVs. So we didn't really know what to expect, but we did a ton of research on YouTube. So
Right,
we
yeah.
were following, everybody and
Right.
doing all that. So we kind of, thought we knew, but there were some things that were easier than we thought, and there were some things that were more difficult than we thought. It's, one of those things again, like you don't know what you don't know,
Right.
and kind of learn things the hard way. And so I love to always ask my guests, like, what are some things, or what's something that was easier than you thought about this full-time RV life?
Actually, adapting to living in a small space
Yes, I
was
agree.
easy. I thought, I didn't think, I mean, we came from a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom, well, it was 3.5 bathrooms by the time we got done,
Wow.
3-level house. And I had a big studio and my quilting studio and everything. And we moved out of that into this rig. And I thought, wow, how am I going to do all of that? But you give up on the quilting dream. Which I was pretty much moving away from anyway, because my kids were like, we have enough quilts.
Oh.
But I was quilting for other people and making quilts for other people, memory quilts and stuff. That's
Oh.
how I always did stuff. But
That's so nice.
yeah, but so I think adapting to a small space, I was surprised that we actually were able to adapt as quickly as we did.
I agree. We said the same thing. Yeah, we had a 4-bedroom house as well, and I thought it was going to be really hard. We thought our 40-foot fifth wheel was so small.
Yeah.
And
Oh,
when we move back to a big rig, it's going to feel like a mansion.
yeah.
So we
It
cannot wait. But
will.
oh my gosh, yeah, that's something that is a really nice surprise, that you really can live easily small, and there's really, it's really not bad at all, and
No.
it feels so freeing and liberating to get rid of
Yeah.
all that extra
All the
stuff,
stuff.
and
Yeah.
yeah, just have what you need.
I did a podcast with my breast surgeons called the Breast Cancer Podcast because one of my doctors, Dr. Hella Harvey, it's her podcast.
Oh,
And she said, how, wh where do you put all your
wow.
shoes and all your, and Dr. Craig was like, where do you put all your purses? Because you women have, I'm like, I don't have all that stuff.
Nope, not anymore.
I said, you learn to live without all of those things. I
Yes.
never really was a big shoe person anyway, but you got like 2 feet of closet space and for
Right.
hanging clothes, and you get one dress that you
Yeah.
may wear at some point down the road,
Right. Oh, yep, you learn to live without. I remember our garage sale, and I had like at least 50 pairs of shoes that were in that garage sale. But half of them, I mean, more than half of them, probably 75% of them, I really never wore anyway. It's like, why do we have all this excess stuff? This is ridiculous. And now I think I
Exactly.
have 5 pairs, and I still don't wear all of them all the time.
I
So,
know, I know.
yeah, you really get used to just having what you need, and it is a good feeling. And so, was there anything that was more difficult than you guys thought about doing this RV life?
Making friends. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you move so frequently, So you
Yeah.
meet people that are around you, maybe most of the time you don't. And so, getting a group of friends. And we lucked out that now we do have that.
Good.
At the Tennessee rally of 23, we met three couples, and one of them was fairly close to us last year and helped us out a lot. He actually helped came and put the washer in for us. And
Aww.
we had another couple that we had met in Florida, and they lived not too far, so we would see them. But and so we do now have a group of friends, but it's taken about 4.5 years to get that
Yeah.
core group, and now we're traveling with them and stuff.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, so that's the thing that was probably the most difficult was it's just the two of you for so
Right.
much of the time,
Yeah, and that's true. And if you are moving a lot, you really don't have time to meet people, because when you're
No.
in the RV park, you're not just like hanging out. Most of the time, you're wanting to explore the area that you're at. And
right.
Do you have a dog or anything?
No, we don't have a dog. We had a dog and he passed away in 2012. So we're like, we'll never find another Woody. And it's easier for us to travel without the dog, because sometimes we'll just stop and, like, you know, go for a bike ride or something. And
yeah.
Then you got to worry about the heat and all that kind of stuff. So, so it's just easier not to.
The reason why I asked is I think that's how I actually meet a lot of people, is walking my dog.
Walking the dog. Yeah.
And he's like, he has his own Instagram. I mean, oh my gosh, everybody just loves him. So we meet so many people because of him. They don't know my name or my husband's name, but they know Cooper. And I've even had people, like, we'll pull into an RV park and they're like, is that Cooper? I'm like, what? How do you know Cooper? You know, I've even had people recognize him. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so cool.
That's so cool. That is funny.
So I do meet a lot of people like that. But yeah, I can see, though, that if we didn't have him, we really wouldn't be out, like, walking, you know, the RV park too much and meeting people. So I can see that that would be difficult. Yeah. And so when you guys travel, where do you guys like to stay? So you're saying you didn't have solar. So do you ever boondock, or, like, do you have a generator?
We do.
Okay.
We have a generator and we have 4 lithium batteries. We converted our refrigerator over to a 12 volt.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. There's a place up in Shipshawana that we went to, JC Refrigeration. They will convert your gas and electric over to a 12 volt. So we did that last year.
Wow, that's good to know.
And that's been really nice, because it's just runs on battery. It's always cold. You don't have to worry about it on travel days, you know, and all of that kind of stuff.
That's what we have in our little one, and we love it, but we didn't even realize that that was a thing that we could do in the fifth wheel. So I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah, because I didn't either. We were at one of the rallies and they were talking about these 12 volt refrigerators. And so I started looking into them and they were like $10,000. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that. This was a lot cheaper than a $10,000 refrigerator. So,
oh my gosh, that's really good to know. We're looking right now for our next one, we want to see it. So we're waiting for, like, a big RV show to be able to go and see some different floor plans when we, you know, upgrade again. But that's something that I really don't see too many people offering, is a 12 volt fridge. So that's good.
Yeah. So that's always a big bonus. So we like to do harvest hosts.
Okay.
A lot. Golf courses as part of the harvest host package. We've stayed at golf courses. You know, the farms and all those kind of things.
We love harvest hosts.
Yeah. So if we're just doing a day or two, we don't mind. Like, we'll harvest host, you know, boom, 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 coming, like, across the country or something. We did that coming from the west to the east, and we did, like, 5 days in a row. And I think in the middle of them, we did an overnight at a campground just to, like, dump tanks and do some laundry, that kind of thing. And then we harvest host. So we'll do 2 or 3 days in a row as a harvest host.
Are you part of Boondockers Welcome as well?
Yeah, it's like the whole, I think they've combined it all. So yeah, I think we have the whole package.
I wasn't sure, because last time we bought, it was like, you can do the Boondockers Welcome add-on, but I didn't know if it was all in one now. We love Boondockers Welcome because they want nothing from you.
Right, right.
You know, they're just nice people that have a farm or something that they, you know, love RVers and let you stay. And we've actually been really fortunate with our Boondockers Welcome to be in spots that have electric, which is amazing.
That is nice. Yeah. Especially in the summertime, if you can find that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So do you also like to stay at RV parks? Like, how do you determine when you're traveling, like, where you stay?
So Mike is my travel agent, my husband.
Okay. Nice.
He does all my travel agents. I'm like, just tell me where we're going and what food do I need to put in the refrigerator, that kind of thing.
Yes.
So what we'll do is we'll say, okay, for travel days, we'll try to do, like, a harvest host.
Okay.
But then we'll get to a place and we want to stay at a location for 1 to 2 weeks so that we can explore that area.
Yes.
See everything we want to see, because we may not get back there, you know, kind of thing. And that's kind of how we like to travel. And it also gives us a chance, especially for me, to just kind of decompress, have a day to rest, catch up on some things, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't get too tired as we travel.
Perfect.
So yeah, that's how we do it.
Oh, that's so good. That's pretty much how we do it too. We love the, you know, convenience of the harvest host Boondockers Welcome to save some money and just have so many locations that we can look for when we're traveling. And then, when we're somewhere where we just want the convenience of hookups so that we can explore and not have to worry about anything.
Right.
We love, looking for the RV parks and then boondocking. When we were out west 2 years ago, and we really bought the small RV to boondock and really try to figure it out. And we have solar on the roof and the 12 volt fridge and all that. And there is nothing like being out in the middle of nowhere and it's for free and you have the most beautiful views ever and it's so peaceful and feels so safe. And that's so good. But then it's nice to have the comfort or the convenience of the full hookups and do laundry and all the other stuff too. So definitely take really long showers and all that.
Right.
Speaking of showers, do you have the water, like hot water tank, or do you have the tankless hot water?
We have the tank.
Oh, okay. You do. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just curious. Yeah. And so do you guys have to limit your showers or anything like that? Do you feel like you could take it?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Because our last fifth, I mean, that's our first and last fifth wheel had the unlimited hot water. And and now we have this teeny, teeny hot water tank. And so I wasn't sure. So we're like, I mean, literally for 3 years, we've not taken a shower where the where the water continuously runs. I mean, that's inconvenient.
Yeah.
Or it's like you wet your hair and then you turn it off and then you shampoo and then it's horrible every single day. I'm like, I hate this. But I was just curious. Yeah. So
like I probably wouldn't have been able to recover in your RV. I would have been like, okay, we're going to my daughter's house.
Seriously.
To recover. Yeah. That would have been very difficult in a small RV. Because I mean, for the first 2 weeks, my husband had to help me shower.
Oh.
So you have to have a big enough space for, two people.
Yeah.
Kind of thing to be in the room.
Right. Yeah. My husband actually went during, I think it was like the first year. So it was 2 years ago. He had an emergency appendectomy. And so he had appendicitis and it was an emergency thing. And I'm thinking while he's in the hospital, like, what is he going to do? Like our Murphy bed is high because it goes over the couch. And so we're like crawling up into it. And thankfully he was okay. But I'm like, wow, this is not set up for recovering.
Mm-mm, no. And those are the kind of things you have to think about, when you,
that's so true.
Like if you have stairs, then you can't go up the stairs, all that stuff. Yeah,
that's true. I definitely recommend not buying just like a camper, like something that you're supposed to just camp in, for full time. You definitely want to find something that has the conveniences of home and that if you're going to live in full time, just so that you can do this RV life and not have so much stress. So that's so true. And so you guys have been to a lot of different places. How many states have you guys been into so far?
We've done 36.
Oh my goodness. That's exciting. Yeah.
5 years. We've done 36. We would have had more, but we canceled some last year, but we'll get back to them next year.
Oh, absolutely. You will make up for lost time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so I know it's a really hard thing to answer because a lot of people ask us, and I know it keeps changing as you travel, but what are right now, what are the five top locations that you guys have been to?
Okay. So number five was Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay.
We stayed at Mama Gertie's. We hauled our camper all the way up to the top. If anybody knows anything about Mama Gertie's campground.
No.
It's very steep.
Oh, wow.
If you can get like up to the top of the mountain, the top section, the views are amazing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so we were there. We went to Biltmore, and toured Biltmore and all of that kind of stuff, hiked and everything. So Asheville was number five. Number four is Kanab. We were just there in the spring.
Where's that?
Kanab, Utah.
Okay.
It's small. The campground we were at, I wish I'd written down what it was, but it's a fairly new campground. But it's not that far from Bryce, Zion, and Page.
Oh, nice.
So, like, you're within a couple of hours of each one. When we stayed there, we just did, like, about 3 days there, and we hiked. But we drove over to Bryce, and they still had snow at Bryce. So we didn't hike into Bryce, but it was beautiful because it was covered in snow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And we had been to Page before we went up to Kanab. So, but there's like some Wild West things that have gone on in Kanab, Utah and everything. So if you're into Wild West, like old movies at all, that whole area is just full of where they filmed stuff.
Oh, my husband would love that.
Yeah. Old movie sets and all kinds of cool stuff. So that's number four. Number three is San Diego.
Oh, never been there either.
We did a month in San Diego in 20, 21. Yeah, 21. And we stayed actually about 30 minutes east of San Diego off of I-8 on at Lakeside RV Park.
Okay.
But so you're like away from San Diego, but you're not that far from San Diego. And we were able to go in
Nice.
and ride our bikes along the beach, and all kinds of stuff. So we loved San Diego. And it was like 70 degrees.
That's what I always heard. That's the best location for weather.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Zion is number two.
Oh, can't wait to go there.
We were just there this spring, the end of March. We got there and our kids all flew in from, instead of doing a beach trip this year, they said, "Where are you going to be? We want to do something else."
Oh,
They all flew to Vegas.
that's awesome.
Yeah. They rented cars, drove up to, and we were like, "You're going to love the trip just from Vegas up to Zion because it's going through the Virgin River is just unbelievable." And
Oh, wow.
they're used to East Coast mountains, and so we're like, "You haven't seen anything until you've been over there." And there's a campground there called Zion White Bison RV Resort.
Okay.
It's new. It's just opened, like at the beginning of the year, maybe. It's just
Wow.
working on opening, but they have teepees and they're doing tree houses and they have covered wagons.
Oh, wow. How fun.
Yes. So our daughter, son-in-law, and our two little grandsons stayed in a covered wagon,
Oh,
had
my
two queen
gosh.
size beds. I mean, it was like glamping at its finest. The
Wow.
teepees too. It's like they call it a glamping resort, so they know.
That is so cool.
And then, so that's like at the top, and then you go down to the bottom, and they're working on still doing a lot of the outbuildings and the amenities and stuff, but the RV sites are phenomenal. They're all large pull through. Level concrete pads. You
Nice.
get your own little gas fire pit that they give you.
Oh.
You just have to hook up your propane. I mean, it's just a beautiful resort. And then you're only about 15, 20-minute drive into Zion itself.
Oh my gosh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, so Zion, we all hiked. We loved Zion. And then our number one, and this was early on, but it's still my number one, is Ouray, Colorado.
Yes.
Love
Yes, we have been
it.
there and I totally agree. Oh, I love that area.
Yeah, and we stayed at the Ouray RV Resort right there that you can walk up to everything from, not the KOA that's farther north. We
Okay.
stayed right there on that one. And the new owners had just taken over and they were just wonderful people, this family that just decided, "Hey, we're just going to buy this RV park as we're sitting here," kind of thing. And we were there for a whole month, the whole month of May. We had all four seasons. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so you obviously have driven the Million Dollar Highway.
We did drive the Million Dollar Highway in the dually.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we just had our Jeep, but we absolutely loved it. Most beautiful drive in America that we've seen so far. Absolutely love that. Did you go to Telluride or anything like that?
We did not go to Telluride. We did a lot of hiking in Ouray itself because they got, the perimeter trail and all the different things. And yeah, just walking up into town and sitting and having a cup of coffee, while you're sitting out there looking out at the mountains is just unbelievable. So yeah, that's my favorite.
Yes. Oh my gosh. One of our podcast guests, Wake Up and Wander, Jeff and Sarah, they are actually from Ohio as well. And they went there and they were there for a work camping trip. And they ended up, Jeff got a general manager's job at the KOA Ouray.
Wow.
And so they're there now, like they're residents. And every day I'm watching their. Because they have a Jeep and they do all these Jeep trails and all these hikes and different things. And I'm like, you are literally living our dream life right now. Like every day I'm watching them and oh, it is so that whole area, we stayed there in that area for about 6, 7 weeks and we did not want to come home. It was, if we knew anybody there, we would have stayed. But like all of our family and friends, like they're all back here, in Ohio and Florida and so, oh, that area is just so magical. I totally agree. That is definitely at the top of our list as well. I'm so glad you got to go there and see it too. It looks just like a Hallmark movie, doesn't it?
It's just lovely.
It is. Yeah, the Switzerland of America. Yep. And it sure does look like it. Every time we went through, it's like, this is so neat. I love it. Oh, that's awesome. And then I always like to ask my guests because, you know, when we were first starting out, we weren't sure if this was going to be difficult. Like when we were doing our research on YouTube, we would see like tire blowouts and, you know, just different repairs that needed to be done and so many things. And so we were a little bit worried, is it going to be safe to live in an RV? Is there going to be any issues? Can we travel without any incidences? And we were always a little bit leery of, you know, is it safe to leave the dog in the RV and all those things. And so I love to find out, have you guys had any unsafe, you know, experiences, any scary situations, and what do you guys do to stay safe on the road?
Yeah. So as far as like blowout, tire blowouts and all that, Mike checks the tires every time we stop to make sure they're not overheating or that kind of thing. And they have the right tire pressures. And, you know, we replaced them when they got to be too worn or whatever. So the maintenance stuff he does as far as that goes, as so when we're traveling. And we try not to arrive anywhere in the dark.
Good. Smart.
Especially in a fifth wheel, trying to back a big fifth wheel into a space in the dark is never a pleasant experience for anybody. If we don't feel safe, we've left.
Good.
Before and just kept driving. And, you know, the only time that we have had something, it wasn't even really a scary situation. It could have been if we'd have stayed, but we pulled into a casino that was actually had hookups and everything, but just looking around and, you know, it's like there were some woods and people are coming out of the woods. And I'm like, you know, I really don't think this is a good place. So we kept going. You know, you just kind of look around. And if you get that feeling or hair on the back of your neck, just keep going. It's just not worth it. You know, it's just not worth it.
We agree. And that's the best part about RVing is your home is on wheels.
Yeah, you just keep going.
So what if you already paid ahead and you might not get your money back? It's just not worth it.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. That's so smart. Very, very good advice.
Yeah.
And doing our research, trying to get ready for this RV life, we always heard from every RVer on YouTube that it's not if, but when something bad happens to your RV or there's, you know, some repairs or something. And so have you guys discovered anything that has happened to your RV? And if so, how'd you guys handle it?
We've only ever had one big repair, and that was one of our jacks. It was leaking. It was working, but it was leaking. So we had to have that repaired on the road. We were able to get that done. We've never had anything that's been like our slides not being able to come in or anything like that. We've really been fortunate.
Oh, that's great.
The couple of times that we've, like Mike's able to address a lot of things that we've had. And if not, if we have an electrical issue or something, we have RV mobile techs that we can call. We did that. Well, I guess we had a leaking gray tank. That was pretty big. We had to drop the underbelly and try to figure out what was going on. And that
oh,
was
goodness.
Not easy. So we ended up having to have it replaced, but we called a mobile tech to come out and replace it for us when we were in Florida. So that was probably the biggest thing that we've had.
Wow. And then how do you guys handle it? We were talking about even, I think, prior to recording, it's like, you just got to roll with these things. Like you really have to make your plans in pencil. Mm-hmm. You can't really be in too much of a hurry because things happen that are out of your control.
Yeah.
Have you ever missed something that you were on your way to?
No, fortunately we were able to like schedule repairs because it wasn't something that was going to keep us off the road. So as far as repairs go, no, we've never really missed anything because of a repair. I keep changing his schedule right now because we schedule usually like a year out.
Oh, wow. You are planners. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big time planners. And like, so he's actually redone our schedule for like this September a couple of different times because I've been asked to speak at Grand Design rallies.
That's awesome.
When we already had other plans, you know, so he schedules everything around this one rally. And then these people are like, okay, now we want you at this other rally. And I'm like, say goodbye to the plans you made after the first rally, because now we got to go down to this other one kind of thing. So that kind of drives them nuts a little bit, but
yeah,
you know. But you do sometimes, and like last year was very evident that we just totally had to change everything.
Oh yeah.
When we had to cancel like 4 months worth of plans,
we
canceled everything up until November 7th, which was when we were showing up in Cottonwood, Arizona.
Wow.
And, you know, we said, well, we'll just, that's like the next big block of time that we already had booked. And we had other small ones before that. So we said, we'll just cancel everything up to that point and we'll see where we are once we figured out whether I needed chemo or not.
Right.
And then once we found out I didn't, then we're like, okay, then that plan we can stick with and we'll just stay here until after the 3 month and then go from there. But
I'm so glad everything worked out so well for you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I'm just so happy that, you know, you are. So do you say like you're in remission?
Yeah, you know, I guess I'm still in treatment. And right now, the way they say it is you are NED, no evidence of disease.
Okay.
Because at the moment that we know of, there is nothing, no live cancer or whatever.
Okay.
So there is no tumor anymore. It didn't go to my lymph nodes.
Thank God.
Yeah. But you're still in treatment as far as you're taking medicine to keep it from coming back somewhere else, to metastasizing somewhere else.
Wow. I mean, you still, though, call yourself a breast cancer survivor, right? Though that's,
I am.
That,
yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I said that right at the beginning because
yeah.
To me, like you're a warrior. Like you,
yeah.
You went through this and that is so, so fantastic
yeah.
That you had great surgeons, two of them that could do it together to,
yes.
You know, minimize the time under
mm-hmm.
And that really just, you know, had such
yeah.
A empathy that talked you through different things, had the goal, you know, asked you your goals and really had a good patient doctor
yeah.
Relationship. And I love that. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
So what are some tips that you would give? You know, you moved out of a big home into this
mm-hmm.
Small RV that I think is a mansion after living into this 20-foot travel trailer. But, you know, considering, you know, comparing your big house to the RV, it is a small space.
Yeah.
What are some tips that you give for people that, you know, married couple, just how do you get along so well living in a small space?
Communication is key. You know, you have to, and give yourselves the opportunity to be apart.
Yeah.
Like he'll go on a bike ride, you know,
yep.
Or, you know, I mean, I don't feel like going on a bike ride today. I want to write. So he'll say, okay, I'm going to go on a bike ride.
Yeah.
You know?
Perfect.
And give yourselves permission to do things separately.
Right.
And not always have to do things together. Cause I think that that's important.
You
yes. Have done that at a house.
Right.
And so stuff like that, I think is very important just to make sure that you don't lose your own identity in the couple. You have to make sure you still both have your own identities.
Such good advice, really good advice because yeah, I think when people start this RV life, they just, you know, sometimes they are not working or, you know, sometimes they, you know, work from home. And so they're constantly mm-hmm. Together. But like you said, you wouldn't really live like that if you were in your home. And so, yeah, trying to keep the same
yeah.
You know, kind of lifestyle that you have and, you know, have some separate, you know,
yeah.
Activities that you guys do or, you know, like I love to go walking. That's like my time to clear my head. And then we, you know, usually have our own jobs that we're going to as well. So, yeah, that really is so helpful. And then what advice would you guys give to somebody who's considering this RV life? I think that's so important. Like when people are considering this, they really, you know, don't know what to expect. And so what advice would you guys give?
Yeah. Cause everything is not as rosy as it looks on a 20-minute YouTube video.
Yes. Yep. You're right.
So I would say like do a test run
mm-hmm.
Before you sell it all and go full time.
Yeah.
Do some part-time month, 2 month, whatever you want to do before you sell your house. Cause that's what we did. We didn't sell our house until the second year when we went for the 2 months and said, okay, you know, we're still speaking to each other after living in 30 feet for 2 months and, you know, in Florida. And, so that's important to make sure that that is something that you really think you can do because you don't want to get rid of everything or sell it all or, you know, whatever. And then you decide,
right.
You know, 6 months down the road, oh, this is not what we thought it was going to be. This isn't what we were told on YouTube it was going to be.
Right.
You know? And so that's what I would say is make sure you try it out first before you sell your house.
That is really good advice.
And don't expect it to be cheap either because it's not.
Yes. It's not.
A lot of people think it is. And really, There are still expenses, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing that we thought too is like this was going to save us so much money, and it really doesn't. You know, it really doesn't at all. And there's definitely some money you have to put aside for repairs and, you know, things that come up, maintenance and all the stuff that, you know, you think you won't have in your home, but there's still stuff that you're going to have in this RV. So, yeah, definitely good advice to try it out before you commit to this. And so, do you have your domicile state because your medical home base? So, your domicile is Ohio, is that right?
Now our domicile is Florida.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I was just, as soon as I asked that, I was thinking, wait a second. No, that's right. Your domicile is in Florida, your
Florida
medical home base is
is
Ohio.
Ohio. And the reason we picked Ohio was because eventually that's where we'll end up, right?
Okay.
You know, we don't know how long we're going to be doing this. People ask us that all the time. You know, you've been doing this for 5 years. How much longer are you going to do it? We still have a lot to see. We don't know.
Right.
But eventually, down the road, that's where we would end up because that's close to our daughter and son-in-law and our grandkids and our more of our family. Our son and daughter-in-law live in Baltimore, Maryland, but everybody else is in Ohio. So that's
Okay.
where we would end up. So that's why we picked Ohio for our medical home base. But Florida is our domicile state because we're members of Escapees and they do Florida, South Dakota, and Texas.
Yes.
And we've never been to South Dakota and we didn't want to do Texas because we'd been going to Florida already. So we have
Right.
kind of an intent there is what they asked for.
Okay.
Plus they had no state income tax and Mike was working at the time.
Yes.
So that's why we picked Florida.
That is good. That's smart. And then one of the other questions that we get Escapees is your how you get your mail, right? And so they have like the app and you can look to see what when you get mail and if you want them to open it, they could scan it. And if you want them to forward it wherever, then you can forward it. So that's such a good service. And then when you want to get packages, you just, if you're at a park, you ask, you know, to receive packages there.
If they can accept them, yeah. Like if we do Amazon, you know, if we buy stuff from Amazon, like when we are in Ohio near our daughter, if it's something big, we ship it to her. And but if it's something small, like our campground, the little park, city park that we're at, they don't really do Amazon, but there's an Amazon locker. And so we send it there. But like if I'm ordering more of my books, they can't go to a locker, so I'll send them to my daughter's house. So you know, you find things like that. But a lot of parks will accept Amazon deliveries. It just depends.
Oh, that's so good. That is good. And then another question we get asked all the time is how do you make money on the road? And, you know, we were talking about with you're an author, you're a blogger, your husband's retired. So is that kind of how you're getting your income?
I don't make really much money as an author, so because independent authors don't make a lot of money. It's more his retirement now. I mean, you know, he retired at the end of 23, so we now it's just living off of what we had been saving forever,
Yeah.
basically, is how we do it. You know, investments and that whatever
Okay.
that kind of stuff is. So we're not really looking to like do a work camping thing or anything like that yet because we're still wanting to be able to be mobile and move around. And we
Good.
might get to a point where we say, okay, now we'll work, do some work camping.
Yeah, just to supplement.
But we're not to that point yet.
That's good to know that it's out there, though, that there is that opportunity if you need it. And yeah, there is a lot of different opportunities like that that I didn't even know existed, you know, starting this. So that is good. And I want to find out, and I want you to share where can our listeners learn more about you, your books, all of that. I'm going to put all the links in our show notes, but just in case, like when they're driving, I want you to share everything for them.
So I have double of everything because because I have our travel blog and then I have my own author stuff. So my author website is jenniferscannell.com. And then I'm on Facebook as Jennifer Scannell, comma author. And then on Instagram as Jennifer Scannell author. And then I have for our travel blog, which I've written, I think I'm up over 100 blog posts on that, just of different
Wow.
places we've been.
Awesome.
I need to get back to it. I had to put it away for a little bit. It's The Rambling Quilter is my website, all one word, theramblingquilter.com. And then Facebook is The Rambling Quilter, and then Instagram at The Rambling Quilter. Those are my three.
That is awesome. I have really enjoyed getting to know you better, hearing your story. You have shared such an inspirational story and background of what you went through. And thank you for being so open and transparent about just, you know, every single thing that you went through prior to and during and now afterwards, what you're going through. And you're doing so much work to continue to share your story and, you know, with your blog posts about the patient, you know, doctor relationship and all of that. It is so wonderful that you're doing this. I really wish you all the best in your continued health journey and, you know, with your travels. And thank you so much for all of your time today, sharing so much valuable information. It was so great to talk to you. And I hope to see you on the road one day.
Well, thank you. I have enjoyed talking to you and sharing all of this. And I really appreciate it, Jamie, that you've given me this platform to tell my story, to hopefully help other people and inspire them to don't wait to enhance change or save your life.
You are such an inspiration. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
I just loved that conversation with Jennifer. She really is so wonderful to share all about her breast cancer journey with us and inspire us to don't wait. I really enjoyed hearing all about her RV life, learning from their experiences, and getting to know her better. I highly recommend that you grab her book, Don't Wait, and I encourage you to get one for a friend as well. Make sure you check out her social media and websites in our show notes and on our website at roamyourhome.com/JenniferScannellAuthor. Thank you so much for being here. It truly means so much to me. Be sure to come back next week for another fun episode. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with anyone who can use some inspiration. I look forward to being with you again next week. And until then, stay safe, and I hope to see you on the road. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roam in Your Home podcast and YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe to our show and consider giving us a 5-star review. It's free and would mean the world to us and help us grow. If you know anyone who would also enjoy this podcast, please share it with a friend. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Roam in Your Home. Come back next week for another fun adventure. But until then, stay safe, and we hope to see you on the road.